Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Amen. And despite what the devil may try to do, we serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. And Pastor has been telling us that God has already finished the work. So don't look at what you see. Pay attention to what he's saying. Amen. So I'm going to try and bring this word, teach this word in Jesus' name. I can't promise you that I won't get excited. The reason why I say that is because the devil has been trying to keep me from getting this word to you today. And so I'm going to deliver the word how God says to deliver, because there is a word for us in this 40th year of celebration in the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 So let me just thank Pastor Connie first and foremost for asking me to grace your altar, your pulpit, Pastor Connie. I take it as an honor. I do not disrespect it. It is my honor to be here. And so I come on behalf of God and your servant so that you can rest. Amen. And so I'll be obedient. Amen. And I want to thank God for my awesome, mighty man of God. Amen. My one-arm hero. Amen. Despite what the devil may try to do, he will always come through. And I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for my husband. Thankful that he's here with me. Thankful. What happened to him? I didn't beat him up. What happened to him? What happened was he ripped his rotator cuff in his bicep, and so he had to have it repaired. Amen? So thank you. And on behalf of you, Living Faith, thank you. Amen? So I'm going to open up in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you, Lord God, for this opportunity to come before your great people, Father God, and bring forth the word that thus saith the Lord. Father God, I stand boldly, Lord God. I ask that you would empty me out, God, so that I may be filled up with what you would have me to say in this season, in this time, God. Father God, none of me and all of you, God. I'll boldly declare what you say, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, because you are God and you are Lord and you are my daddy. I know, Father God, that I can trust in you, God, to bring it forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what the Lord had been ministering to me, so I'm going to minister to you, is God said, why do you always have so many questions? Does that sound like somebody? Every time God tells me to do something or something, I'm like, God, I'm going to question. I'm questioning. Lord, who am I? Lord, what am I supposed to be doing in this season? And so I did a little research in the Bible, and it said that there are over 3,200 questions in the Bible. So what's the importance of a question? A question makes us think. Questions, they grab our attention. They focus, they cause us to focus on or reflect on the answer. Amen? They provide a purpose behind what God is trying to tell us. If we question, with come with the right questions, I'll say. Most people don't like to be questioned. Most people don't like to answer personal questions, because when they do that, it opens them up for fear, rejection, judgment. People want to hide, so they want to keep it quiet. But the truth of it is that God knows all about us. Say, God knows all about me. So we can put up a facade like Pastor Connie said, and we can act like we got it all together. But see, the devil's going to reveal you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So it's best to just go ahead and let God do what he needs to do in you, so that the devil doesn't get an opportunity to reveal you, because all of us are in this flesh. Amen? And so this is why we struggle so intently, because we are in this flesh. We struggle so intently because oftentimes we let our identity be in the mouths of other people. We let what people's opinion, their judgment, their viewpoints, the statements that aren't true, what people say about us. But you know what? The devil is a liar. Dr. Lamont used to always say to Minister Mike and I, he said it to us one time, and that's all he needed to say. He said, be more concerned about what God knows about you than what people's opinions say about you. Amen. Amen? Amen? So when you get that in you and you understand that, you can't be concerned about what people are saying. See, because we are here today for a purpose and on purpose. Amen? So knowing what God says about us, we've got to stop reducing what the world says about us. We've got to stop reducing what God said about us to what people say. And when we do that, we take God off the throne. And God can't do for us what he needs to do. God is knowledge of us. It is total and complete. God, Pastor Connie ministering that God has already done a finished work in us. So his knowledge of us is already total and complete. It's individual to who we are. It's private. It's unique. Just think about that. His knowledge of you is private. It's unique. It's unique to you. It's unique to me. Amen? So let's go and look at some scriptures. This is one of my favorite, all-time favorite chapters in the Bible. I think the last time I was with you, I shared a little bit. Let's go to Psalms 139, and we're going to read in the Message Bible, Psalms 139, 1 through 6. Amen? And so it says, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I am never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Amen? So we see here that Daniel is talking to the Lord. And he said, every thought I'm going to think before I think it, he already knows. Every word I'm going to speak before I speak it, he already knows. Every move I'm going to make, he already knows. So why are we not resting in the things that God already knows about us? God already has the answer. But again, we are getting in the way. God understands us more than we could ever understand ourselves. Shouldn't this bring you at a place of peace as a child of God? Shouldn't it bring you comfort as a believer and conviction if you're running from him? In the book of Isaiah, it reminds us that God said he knows every one of our thoughts. And his ways and his thoughts are high above ours. We can't reduce God down to our human opinions. So why do we keep doing it? Let's go to Psalms 139, 7 through 12. And it reads, is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? That's a question. If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning wings to the far west horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he is even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Amen? So God already sees it. And there's nowhere we can go where God is not already there. Amen? So let's look at some biblical examples of some prophets. I'm going to give you two examples who tried to run from God. Amen? And the first one I'm going to talk to you about is in the book of Jonah. Jonah is four short chapters, if you will. And the book of Jonah, we should be familiar with it, but if we're not, I'm going to do a really quick exegesis or interpretation of these four chapters, if you will. And so in the book of Jonah, God called Jonah, he commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, which happened to be Israel's enemies, and to preach against their wickedness. Jonah rebelled. He unwillingly wanted to preach, and he calls himself, he's going to go the opposite direction because he didn't want to preach, because he didn't want to preach to people that he wanted God to destroy. Does it sound like something we might be thinking? Jonah, he flew in the opposite direction. He boarded a boat called Tarshish. A boat bound for Tarshish. And during that time, things started to happen. And the pagan sailors that were there, they were like, what's going on? Why is this storm coming on us like this, this violent storm? God caused a violent storm, and it threatened the lives of the soldiers. And so they were going to cast lots. But what they did was they noticed Jonah was down in a deep part of the boat and he was sleeping. And so the captain came to him and he said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us and cause us not to perish. And even though Jonah was running from that great and mighty God, they were pagan soldiers, but they recognized that God, that Jonah's great God, they call him a great God. He said, call on them. And so what happened was they cast lots. And when they cast lots, it determined that Jonah was the reason for this storm. And so Jonah confessed, and he said, cast me over. They were a little bit reluctant, but they realized that if they didn't, their ship was going to tear up. And so they cast him over. And immediately the storm stopped. But just as immediately as the storm stopped and Jonah was thrown over, God arranged for a large fish to suck him up. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And during that time, Jonah started giving God a prayer of repentance, thanksgiving, and desperation, acknowledging that God is sovereign. And he said, salvation belongs to you, God. See, we can't control who God wants to love. We just have to be obedient when God tells us to do what he told us to do. And so then God told the fish after 3 days, he said, spit it out. Let it go. And so the fish did what he was supposed to do. Then God told Jonah for a second time. He spoke to him a second time. But this time, Jonah obeyed. And he went to the city of Nineveh. And Jonah had an eight-word sermon. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was all God told Jonah to do. Those eight words. Never, and I read that Jonah had another sermon. Amen? And to God, and to Jonah's surprise, guess what happened? They all repented, the whole entire city. The king immediately declared a fast, and he said, everybody put on sackcloth, even the animals, and urgently turn away from your wicked ways. Here again is another person who is not serving the God that we serve, but he knew enough to say, everybody do this. Don't eat, don't do anything until maybe, and then he asked the question, maybe God is going to spare us. And guess what happened? He did. See, God can change his mind about a thing. We just have to be obedient and stop looking at it in the natural. A lot of times we want to see stuff in the natural. And when we do that, we cut God out. We may not understand what's happening, but God is taking control of things. And we may not like the way God is taking control of things, but who are we to question God? Amen? And so as a result of that, Jonah sat and he watched Nineveh didn't get destroyed. And guess what? Jonah caught an attitude again. And he started pouting. And what did he do? He went over and he sat and he looked across and he was still hoping that God would destroy. He was going to destroy the Nineveh. And so God didn't do it. And so what ended up happening is while Jonah was sitting over there pouting mad at God, God said, I'm going to send a plant. I'm going to send a plant to cover you. He sent it at nighttime to cover him. So when he woke up in the morning, the sun was shining hard on Jonah. And so God caused this plant to give him shade. And Jonah was happy. But then the next day, or that next night, God appointed a worm to eat up into the plant and cause it to wither away. And Jonah got mad again at God. And he said, God said, Jonah, you pity the plant for which you did not toil, nor did you grow it. And should not I pity Nineveh? See, Jonah got mad over a plant that he didn't have anything to do with. But yet and still, when it came to Nineveh, God loves us all. And he said, 120 people, and you would be concerned, you're more concerned about a plant that I put there, and you get an attitude with me? So what is God saying here to us? I'll leave that question to you. Amen. Let's go to my next point. So in my next point, we have to understand that, as I said before, we don't get to determine who God loves, and it doesn't matter our opinion of people. And we all have our own opinions, do we not? And so Jonah, he had fear, and then he also had biases, and he had hatred, and he was being judgmental. He desired justice over mercy. Does it sound like anything we've done? He wanted personal comfort with God's plan. But sometimes God's plan won't always bring us personal comfort. Sometimes God's plan is going to make us feel uneasy. And we may not understand it. But if it's God's plan, then I have this saying on my wall in my office that said, God, if it's your will, I'll walk with you. Pastor was telling us that we need to rest. But in order to rest so that we can walk. So if it's God's plan, how dare we question God? But we see in the word of God that they did it. Amen? And so what happens is sometimes we tend to fear the opinions of others or opinions of ourselves, knowing that God's presence is with them. Because when Jonah was, even after he got thrown over, and God didn't allow Jonah to die, did you notice? He didn't drown. He caused that fish to suck him up. Where he was down in the deep, darkest parts of the earth, God didn't cause him to die because he still had work for Jonah to do. And so as a result of that, Jonah got all up in his head, got all up in his emotions. It sounds like sometimes we get all in our emotions and we start questioning God. But God said, when my presence is there, you just got to trust me. But what happens is we will never rise to the level that we're supposed to rise to when we don't believe what God is saying about us. Amen? And so I want to give you an example of one more biblical character. And again, I don't want you to get familiar because I'm going to pull out a couple points in this one. And that's Elijah. And many of us know the story of Elijah, and maybe you don't. But I'm going to share it with you. Okay, so Elijah also was a prophet. And both of these men were men of God. He was a prophet, and he was, he had done many great works. Many great works. Where's my notes? Here we go. Some of the great works that Elijah did is he proclaimed a drought for 3.5 years, and then he ended the drought. He was fed by the ravens. He raised the widow's son. And then the widow and her son only had a little bit of food. And Jonah told him, Elijah said, bring it to me. And she said, I only have a little bit. I'm going to eat and die. He said, bring it to me. I'll eat first. And what ended up happening is God just started giving them so much more. See, God knows the provisions that we need if we'll trust it. Sometimes we look at the little bit we have and say, God, you can't do nothing with that. God has a purpose for you, little as it was. Jonah had an 8-word sermon. But in that 8-word sermon, 120 people got saved. Don't ever shortchange God with what he's telling you to do. In addition to that, Elijah, he was responsible for killing 450 of the prophets of Baal. He was responsible for calling down fire from heaven. He was responsible for causing fire to consume the two animals. He had the prophets, and he told them, you get two cows. You choose first, and we're going to sacrifice on the altar. And they put the cow on the altar, and they danced, and they gyrated, and they did all kind of things from morning to afternoon, and nothing happened. Then Elijah put his on the altar. And not only did he put it on the altar, he told him, wet the wood real good. And not only wet the wood real good, but also dig a trench and fill that trench full of water, because he didn't want them to have any doubt what God was getting ready to do. And so what ended up happening was, God, as soon as Elijah called down fire, whoo, it started burning. And not only did it burn, it also burned the water in the trench. That's a mighty God that we serve. But Elijah, in all his greatness, he still questioned God. And so in 1 Kings 19... we're going to go to 1 Kings 19. Now, this is all the things that Elijah had done. He had just killed 450 prophets of Baal. And so in 1 Kings 19, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel. We all heard the name Jezebel. Jezebel is a spirit. Don't just think it's a woman. So don't just look at a woman, at the name Jezebel, and say, oh, that's a woman. No. A man can have a Jezebel spirit too. Amen? Amen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel was hot. You know why she was mad? Because now that affected her prosperity. And so Jezebel sent a message to Elisha. And she said, so let the gods do to me and more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. Now Elijah had done all those mighty things. And what did Elijah do? He got scared and took off running. And he ran, and he went to Beersheba. He left his servant there, and then he went another full day, and he hid in a cave. And he was hiding in the cave. And so he wanted God to have pity on him. So God comes up to Elisha, he comes to Elijah and he says, what are you doing here? That's the first time he asked him the question. What are you doing here? And so that's the angel of the Lord. And so then he told him, get up, arise and eat. And the angel of the Lord, provided food for Elisha. And he ate. And then they told him, eat a second time. Because God has a work for you. And it's a 40-day and 40-night journey. There's that 40 again. 40 Jonah. 40 Elijah. 40 Living Faith Christian Center. Amen?
Amen.
And so Elijah, he got up. And he did what God told him to do. Let me find my notes. I'm just trying to stay on course here. But also, too, Elisha still, even after he was getting up and going back to the city where God told him to go, he stopped again. And he started feeling, God said, what is wrong with you? He said, I'm alone. I'm all alone. Woe is me, God. There's nobody here with me. And they seek to take my life. Didn't you just kill 40 of the prophets of Baal? Didn't you just call fire to come down from heaven? What happened? He started listening to voices, outside voices. The voice of Jezebel was louder than that of God. See, God had given him a command, but he let the voice of Jezebel take away the voice of what God was saying. But God is a great God, and God loves us. He loves us so much that he'll give us a second chance. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so what God did, he said, go out and stand. He told him, come out of the cave and stand beside the mountain. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in that fire. But after that, a small voice said to Elijah, what are you doing here? Second time. He said, go and return the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, I want you to anoint Hazael. And I want you to anoint Jehu. And I want you to anoint Elisha as the prophet who's going to replace you. See, even though Elijah ran from God, God's presence never ran from him. And in the midst of that, God said, you still have a work to do. You still have an assignment. So I need you to go and do what I've told you to do so you can finish the work. God is saying he's got a work for us to do. And we may not always think it's going to feel good. And we may not always end up being the best. People may not like us. But you know what? If God told us to do it, no disrespect, I could care less if you like me. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to do what God told me to do, because the last person I want to have to stand before is God and hear him say, why did you not do what I told you to do when I told you to do it? Oh, God, I was concerned about the voices. Well, what about my voice? Are you hearing me? We have to be mindful that God, as we said earlier, he already knows what we're going to do. So God already knew that Jonah was going to run. And he also knew that Elisha was going to run, even after all that Elisha did. But God still said to him, go and finish my assignment. Amen?
Amen.
So let's jump back over here. And it says that, my notes say, spiritual growth requires us sitting with God and not running without God. Pastor talked about us resting with the Lord. But we're not going to grow if we don't spend time with God. So Mark 4:24, I think I gave them that. Mark 4:24. Amen. And it reads. It says, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Amen? So what that is saying is the more time we spend with God, the more attention we take to God, the more submission we give to God, the more application we do of God's word, even when it doesn't feel good. That's when we're going to know specifically what God has called us to do. Because as I said earlier in the book of Psalms, he already knows all about us. And since he already knows all about us, don't you want him to see the goodness in your life? He already knows how we're going to mess up. And he even provided a ram in the bush for that. Amen? But if you want more wisdom and understanding and purpose, what does God say? He said, ask in Matthew. We need to be asking God for more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. Lord, what is my purpose? And then we need to transform our minds. Romans 12, 2. And I want to read that in the NLT version. Romans 12, 2. And it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, but God is telling us to stop getting into the customs and the behaviors of the world. We should not look like the world as the body of Christ. We should not be acting like the world as the body of Christ. When God calls us to do something, people will know that it is God because of who we are, what we walk, how we walk, how we walk it, how you live it. See, we can come up here and act all crazy in the church, but how are we living out there? See, God sees and he knows there's nowhere we can go. David said there's nowhere we can go. Even if I go to the dark place, darkness and light is the same for God. So why are we running from the plan and purpose that he has for us? In order for us to live out what God says about us, we have to let go of our past failures, labels and shame, and we all have them. We probably put some on ourselves. We have to do the hard things that God wants us to do, even when the flesh doesn't want us to do it. We have to reject every excuse that blocks your assignment. Who are you? And what is God calling you to do? See, this I like to listen to this guy. He's a human biologist, I think is how you say it. His name is Gary Becker. Some of you may know him. And he believes in helping longevity. And like Pastor said yesterday, and I'm all about longevity. I'm about living long. Amen? Amen. So it's, he says, when you shrink your problem, you grow your purpose. Just think about that. There are so many problems that we have that we're dealing with on a daily basis. But when you shrink your problem, you grow your purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us. He had a purpose for Jonah. He had a purpose for Elijah. But they let fear come in. Both of them let fear come in. Elijah, he let exhaustion and despair. I know you get tired. I know Pastor gets tired. I know she gets every Sunday, every Wednesday, and then to be the pastor of this church, I know she gets tired. So we have a part to play. We have a purpose and a plan here at Living Faith Christian Center and out there in the world. So we have to be looking to God for what it is he has for us here and out there. We have to stop comparing our calling to others. Our calling is personal to us. I can't be like Pastor Connie. Pastor Connie can't be like Minister Sheila. Minister Mike can't be like Elder Robert. Praise God. The calling God has on your life is unique to you, and you have to walk in it. You got to be bold and not be afraid to walk in what God's called you to walk in. And don't care about what people say. If Pastor Lamont cared about what people said when he was stuttering, he would have never established this church. And we would not be celebrating 40 years of ministry when so many other churches have closed down. Are you hearing me? We have to know that God has a plan for us. And he said that we are his masterpiece. He's already written our book. Let's go to Psalms 139, 13 through 16 in the Message Bible. And I like the Message Bible because it makes it real, at least for me. He says, oh, yes. This is what David said. You shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. God already knows everything about us. He said, how I was sculpted from nothing to something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. I'm going to say something about that too. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared. Amen? And so we see here that we are God's masterpiece. Pastor mentioned Ephesians 2:10. And Ephesians 2:10, they have it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, we are God's masterpiece, created to do good works. He prepared in advance for us. In advance. So when you think about that, God already knew what was going to happen today. Amen? And so while you're sitting there trying to figure out what's happening, God already knew what happened. And it's not for you to understand. It's you to trust God. Because God will not let anything happen at Living Faith Christian Center that he's not aware of. And the devil is a liar, and he's not about to come up here and act a fool and then turn around and say it's God. God is God, and he will not lie. God will not decrease himself for nobody. Amen?
Amen.
And when you know that, you know the truth that you're not a mistake. You're here on purpose for a purpose. You're not an accident. God claims you as his own. He is your father. And I thought about that, maybe y'all never watched it, but you know those shows, the paternity test shows, whether it's Marty Povich or whether it's the paternity court, and they're sitting there and they're questioning paternity, who's the father, are you the father, are you the father? And so they do the paternity test. And the Marty Povich show is a lot more dramatic and staged than the paternity court. But the question that they, when they get the results, and the judge or whoever's in charge, they look at it and they say, so-and-so, you are not the father. And the mother goes running off the stage, and the father's jumping up, I knew, I told you. But God, when he says, I am your father, and I welcome you with open arms, so I don't care who might have told you, might have said that you're not their father, their daddy, they're not your daddy, but God said you're my child, and I love you. Run to me because I love you. Do you hear me? God has made us for a purpose and on purpose. And when you recognize that, you look good to God. Despite what the world says, we're precious to God. And he has countless thoughts about us. God has countless thoughts about us. The Almighty God. He's thinking about me day and night. He's thinking about you day and night. And no thought goes without a purpose. So when you recognize that God has a thought for you, we have to change the thoughts we have for ourselves. We have to stop thinking about what people are thinking about me. We have to not be concerned whether or not you think I'm worthy to stand up here. God said I'm worthy. Pastor Connie put her stamp of approval. But you know what? I'm going to give you a little secret. There was a time when I didn't think I was worthy to stand up here and preach to you. But thank you, God, that I fell in love with Psalms 139. And I recognize that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I recognize that even in my mother's womb, God knew me. God called me out. He called me Kim. He said, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And so I said, God, I'll go. Didn't always want to go. I was pretty shy and quiet, believe it or not. I know y'all have a hard time with that, but it's the truth. Amen? But I realized that God had another plan and purpose for me. And so I said, God, if it's your will, I'll go. And so here I am. And so one of the things that I say, but I realized that that's a great calling. It's a great calling to be standing up here. So one of the things that I do is I do a self-examination. So let's go to Psalms 139, 23 through 24. In the Message Bible. And it says, investigate my life. In other words, search me, Lord. Oh God, find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. then guide me on the road to everlasting life. See, that should be our call and our purpose, that we would be guided onto God's everlasting life. But in order to do that, we have to do a self-examine of ourselves. We have to ask God to search us. We have to ask God to point out anything and reveal anything in us that offends him. And newsflash, we all do it. We do things that offend God. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I say is, Lord, be the keeper of my eye gates, my ear gates, my mouth, and my heart, and my feet, that I don't sin against you. Then the next thing I say is, Lord, show me me, so I don't have to have somebody else reveal something about me. And if God shows it to me, then I'll say, okay, God, you're right about it. I don't need you to tell me what God has already told me. You don't need me to tell you what God has already told you. If God has told you, there's a reason why he's telling you, and we need to fix it. If it's bad, we need to rejoice. If it's good, we actually need to rejoice each time, good and bad, because God loves us that much that he will reveal us to us. And so when he does that, stop saying, no, God, that ain't me. Didn't you just pray for me to reveal yourself? I'm doing that. And then you want to deny, you want to run like Jonah and Elisha, but God already knows. And we told him, God, do it for us, God. Show us so that we can acknowledge it. We can ask for forgiveness and we can repent. See, we'll never be able to walk with God in the fullness of the finished work that he's called for us if we don't repent. We will never get to the everlasting life in God if we don't repent. See, life begins where our salvation ends in heaven and when we're seated with God. That's this natural life. But we want to be seated with God. We'll always conduct ourselves in a way consistent to what we believe. What are you believing? You will conduct yourself consistent to what you believe, not what other people say about you, what you believe. And so you have to understand that we need to spend time in God's word. We need to be sitting in his word. And when we read something and it says, ooh, that hurt, God, he said, I meant for it to hurt because I love you. Because I've called you for such a time as this. And understand, a calling is not without repentance. Anyone who's called doesn't automatically become this, oh, holier-than-thou person. And they don't get mad at somebody on the street, on the road, and want to cut them off or pump the brakes and give them a brake check. I know I'm the only one to do that. But at the end of the day, I'm not perfect. But in God, I am who he called me to be. If you recognize that you are who God called you to be, to fulfill the purpose God called for you, I don't care what people say, Pastor Connie. You were called to be the pastor of this church. I don't care that you're a female. You are God's male. And that's all that matters. So don't let anybody try to tell you you're not fulfilling your call and your purpose, because you are. And it's because of you that I'm here today, 32 years later, and I'm still here and I'm going to remain here. And it's because of you, Pastor, that I am the woman of God that I am today, because you chose to speak into my life even when I wasn't doing what I needed to do. I had to say ouch sometimes, and I still say ouch sometimes, but I know Pastor loves me. I know Pastor has a heart after God, and since she has a heart after God, she's not going to do anything and say anything that's going to hurt me. And when she gives us a command as her leaders, we complete the command even when it doesn't feel good. Even when it doesn't look good, and you may not like it, but if she gave it to us, we're going to be obedient and do what she told us to do, because she hears from God. If you don't believe she hears from God, why are you here? We have to stop kicking against the prick. We have to stop thinking that we're here, I don't know why. God has called every one of us here for a purpose, on purpose. The vision is out there on the board. Take it home with you. Read it, study it, and then ask God, where do I fit into this vision, God? Every one of us should have our nose to the plow in some way. Your calling may not be up on this pulpit. Your calling may be out there in the parking lot. Your calling may be in children's church. Your calling may be evangelizing in another country. But unless you seek God, you'll never know what your calling is. Pastor's here to build us up. God gave us Pastor Connie to build us up, to make us who he called us to be, fearfully and wonderfully made, his masterpiece. Why are we wasting our time? What are we waiting for God to do? You talk about the seats being empty here. Why aren't you bringing somebody? Who are you evangelizing to? This is a good church. And the more I go to other churches, I realize how much of a good church that we have. Despite all the ups and downs and challenges, you know what that says? God's got a plan and a purpose. Amen. Amen. He's got a plan and a purpose. So as I begin to wrap it up, I want to bring you back to the significance of some things that I learned in the text as I was studying. 40 days is what Jonah told Nineveh. 40 days and 40 nights is what God told Elisha. He told him, I'm going to give you enough food to preserve you for 40 days and 40 nights. Ain't God good? He'll give us just what we need. No more, no less, for such a time as this. Amen? And so I was reading, I was like, okay, so what's the significance of 40 in the Bible? It has a high significance. It symbolizes a period of testing, trial, probation, preparation before a major change. Are you hearing me? New beginnings and a divine fulfillment. It is a measure of a full cycle of judgment or purification. God's getting ready to do something in these next 40 days, 40 years at Living Faith Christian Center. We celebrated 40 years of ministry, not without challenges and not without his hiccups. But you know what? God is getting ready to do something. It's a new thing. It's a new season. It's a new beginning. Are you willing to be a part of it? Or are you going to sit there for another 40 years and question what's going on? We all need to put our hands to the plow. So here's the question I want to ask you. What do you truly believe about yourself? What voices have you allowed to define you aside from what God says about you? What is holding you back from fulfilling, fully walking in what God's finished work is for your life? Why are you still running? God has a purpose and an assignment for you. Stop using excuses. He made our bodies fearfully and wonderful. So if your back is hurting, strengthen your core. If your BMI is bigger than it should be, I'm keeping it real. Lose some weight. Over the course of my life, I have lost over 100 pounds. And I did not do it without the assistance of God and man. But I thank God that I'm here today because my body is made from God. And it's fearful and it's wonderful. I bought this scale. And the scale you stand on, and it tells you all about your body chemistry and all that stuff. And I got on, and it said, I'm 60 years old. I'm not ashamed to say it. And I got on the scale, and it said that my BMR, your basmodic metabolic rate, was 53. I said, well, go ahead, God. 53. My muscle mass, my bone mass is all good. See, I'm going to live a long life, at least 120. Amen. To finish what God has called me to do. Don't get mad. Get angry and then do what you need to do. Wake up in the morning. Pick up those weights. And women, I'm going to keep it real. We need to be strength training. Strength training ain't going to make us bulky and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I strength train on a regular basis. Sometimes I pick up Minister Mike's weight, especially now since he can't pick them up. But it's because of that my body structure is stronger. It's because of that I can wear my 6-inch high heels and I can squat down and stand up and my knees aren't bothering me. It's because of that if I got to run with these shoes on, I can do it. You see, you got to know what God's called you to, and then you got to do it. You can't complain. You can't get mad at anybody else because you listen to the voice of somebody else. What is God saying to you? Pastor Connie needs your help. But that doesn't mean God's not going to do it if you choose not to help. He'll put somebody in place. And then you'll be sitting back looking like, I thought God told me to do that, but you didn't get up and do anything. God's not going to, he's long-suffering, but he's not going to wait forever because God has work for all of us to do. And so as we prepare to close, I want to pray a prayer over you. But I want you to just really think about what is the answer that you need to give to God today. What is he saying to you? Forget about what you did yesterday. Forget about what just happened this morning. What is God telling you to do that you're running from? As we see here, God spoke to Jonah once and twice. God spoke to Elijah once and twice. Has God already spoke to you once? And he's going to speak to you again. Are you willing? God said, I'm with you. I got your back. I got you. Don't look at the circumstances surrounding the situation. If that were the case, the widow woman would not have brought the oil and the one cake or whatever she had and given it to Elijah. And because of her obedience, look what God did. Look what God did. But then that mighty man, Elijah, he took off running. The Bible says that he took his cloak and he pulled it up and he ran with the quickness of the Holy Spirit of God. And he beat Ahab. Ahab had chariots, but Elijah took off with the quickness of God. He was running. I know none of us can run like that. It was only God. And if God will do that for Elijah, he'll do it for us. Amen? But do you believe it? What do you believe? So, Father God, we thank you. And we praise you, God. We trust you, God. We trust you, God, that you have spoken to us this day, God. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that we sit with you long enough to hear your voice, God. We pray, God, that we would believe deeply enough to get up and move when you tell us to move, God. We'll sit with you, God, spending time with you, God, not concerned about the clock on the wall, God. We'll turn off the TV, God. And Lord, we'll just sit with you. If you wake us up in the wee hours of the morning, God, God will listen. You're with us wherever we go and whatever we do, God. On the road, Lord God, wherever we go, God. God, we want to live out this life boldly for you, God, so that we can make a difference in the world, Lord God. So, Lord God, speak to us, God. Speak to us loudly, God. Lord God, let your voice be louder, even though it may be a small whisper. Louder than anyone else's voice on this earth, God. Louder than our own voice in our head, God. Get us out of our emotions, God, so that we can do what you called us to do for such a time as this, God. God, we won't fight you anymore. We'll trust you, God. We'll give you praise, God. Even when we fall down, God. Even when Jonah was in the belly of the whale or the fish for 3 days and three nights, God. Then you told the fish to spit him out, God. Even when Jesus was, Lord God, went into the dark deep of the earth, Lord God. And then you rose and raised him up, God. God, you're going to do that in us, Lord God, if we're obedient to what you called us to do, God. So, God, what are you calling us to do today, God? Speak to us, God. We're listening, God. We hear your voice today, God. We yield to you today, God. We thank you, God, that you brought this word forth, God, despite the devil trying to keep it from coming forth. But, God, we thank you anyhow, because the devil is a liar, and there's no truth in him. And, God, you said you will let no man take away your glory, God. And so, God, for that, we are thankful. And we're thankful that you are sovereign, and you are God all by yourself. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, remember, God is personal. God is unique. What is God calling you to do? What have you run from that you chose not to, because you had an attitude, because you didn't like this person, or you didn't like that person, or you didn't want God's mercy to fall? You wanted justice. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes and just take a moment and ask God to forgive you. Forgive you if you have not done what he told you to do because you were concerned about the voices of others. You talked yourself out of the assignment God had for you. But then you like Jonah and you murmur and complain. Jonah had to speak 8 words in a sermon. That's the last time I heard of Jonah. 8 words. God may have 8 words for you that he needs you to speak to somebody. 120 souls were saved because of an 8-word sermon. See, God is in the big stuff and he's in the small things. But it's up to you to reach out to God and take his hand. So if you have not asked God to be the Lord of your life, the first thing I want you to do is ask him. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Not for form and fashion, but take over me, God. Do in me what I need you to do, God, so I can be what you called me to be. Grace. Grace. His grace is upon us. For this season in life, his grace is upon you. So if you have not asked God to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to just raise your hand. Raise your hand to let the devil know that you're asking God to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And even if you have, and you ran, and you're still running, ask him to renew you, refresh you, make you fresh and new for what it is he has for you to do. And then I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life, to make me new. Refresh me, Lord. Change me, mold me, and shape me into the image that you predestined before the foundation of the world. Lord, I admit that I've run from you. I admit, Lord God, that I have turned from you, Lord. But today, Lord, this day, I ask you to come into my life. Renew me, Lord. Make me fresh and new, God. Mount me on the wings of an eagle, God. Lord, if my body is broken, I ask that you would heal it. Heal it right now in the name of Jesus. You said you know everything about us, God. So I pray that you would heal them, Lord God, so they'll have no excuses, God. No excuses, Lord God. And so ask him, say, Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Today, God, this day, I thank you, Lord, for being my Lord, for being my Savior. I am fresh and I am new. And it's because of you, I'm running no more. I'm running to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Did anybody pray that prayer for the first time or rededicate? You want to raise your hand? Did anybody? Do we have any hand? We have a hand in the back. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God is a good God. He did all this just for you. The devil didn't want you to be here today. The devil wanted to disrupt the service, but God said, not so. I have a word for you. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing. God is rejoicing, and he loves you. You are not a mistake. You're here on purpose today. Amen? Amen. Would you like to come forward? Would you like to come forward? No? That's fine. That's okay. We love you, and we thank God for you, and we thank God for your rededication. Amen? Amen. Amen. Minister Allen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you guys get anything out of that on today? Minister Kim may be small, but she is a ball of fire. I tell you that. Praise God. I enjoyed that word on today, Minister Kim. Thank you. Praise God. As we prepare our hearts to give on today, I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 8 and 18, and it says that we should remember the Lord our God. For it is he that giveth us the power to get wealth. Or in the God's Word translation, it says, remember the Lord your God is the one who makes you wealthy. And if we just stop at that point, wealthy, not only does God make us wealthy, he makes us saved, he makes us healed, makes us whole, he delivers us, he prospers us in every area of our life. So we should take time to remember God, not just on Sunday when we come to church on Sunday, but we should remember God every day when we wake up in the morning, at noonday, in the evening time. God should always be on our mind. The Hebrew word for remember has the connotation that goes with that we continually keep God on our mind. Praise God. It takes discipline of the heart to keep God on your mind, to keep his goodness, to keep his commands, and to keep his promises and his word and his perspective on this life before our minds. I believe that's why if you meet a Jew today and you go into their home, they have the word of God all throughout their home. Everywhere they go, They're reminded of God's word. Praise God. So we have to keep God on our mind all the time. And what should we remember? Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, that means God is on your mind, what? Somebody say, all the time. He's on your mind all the time. And then in Luke 22:19, we do this every communion Sunday, or every first Sunday, which is communion Sunday. We do what? We do this. We partake, and they're symbolic, the juice and the crackers are symbolic of the wine. We partake of those things, what? In remembrance of him. Praise God. So as you prepare your hearts to give on the day, know that, listen, if you're prospering, you didn't do it yourself. If you're healed in your body, you didn't heal yourself. Even a good doctor can't heal you. If you're successful in any area of your life, in your marriage, in your relationships with your friends, guess what? It's not you that's doing it. Even as Minister Kim stated on the day, she was up here ministering the word of God, and we had an opportunity to share the word of God. Regardless of what you think about it, we know what we can and cannot do. So it's God who's speaking through us, because the Bible is clear. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. It's in him that we have our very existence. So we can't help but what? To remember the Lord, our God. If you need an offering envelope, as we pay attention to the monitors, just raise your hand and the usher will help you. Praise God.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ Church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Praise God. Is everybody ready to give? And as we give, our faith to be towards God. Come on, let's stand. Praise God. Let's do our confession of faith. Praise God. This is what we remember week in and week out, each day. Come on, we decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and giving to the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, no destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tithe's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tithe's blessing, that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Come on, just point your hands up towards the altar. Father God, we thank you. And as always, Father God, we remember you and what you've done for us. Father God, when we look back and see that the goodness of God in our life, we can't help but give you praise and glory and honor, looking at what the Lord has done. So as we give on today, Father God, as we give and sow, Father God, our faith is not in man. It's not in the government. It's not in this world system. But we totally trust and depend on you. Father God, we're not even trusting in our best friend or our husband or our spouse, Lord God. But Father God, our faith and trust is in you. So we remember you on today, Lord God, thanking you for your goodness. And because you were so good, Father God, we just thank you that every place that our soles of our feet shall tread upon, Father God, you are with us and you'll meet us there. So whenever we show up, Father God, we will have seed in our hand. We'll be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, giving glory to God because God is with us. And if it had not been for the Lord on our side, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we wouldn't have food on our table. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, we wouldn't have clothes on our back. We wouldn't have a car to drive. We wouldn't have a house to live in. We wouldn't have favor with you, God, and with man because of you. If it had not been for the Lord. So we remember you on today, Lord God. So as we sow this seed, Father God, we thank you that this seed shall return to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and as always, running over. So not only will we bless our house, but we will bless this house and those that you instruct us to bless. So we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. Elder Clarence.
Amen, amen. Video, could you please play the hot topics?
To invite you to join in our upcoming monthly Bible study, held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are diving into the powerful book of Acts. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. As you read, jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting journey through the Acts of the Apostles. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember.
Have you noticed something new in LFCC's sanctuary and foyer? The new tap dots are our newest point of contact, a way for you to keep up to date with what's going on at LFCC. And all you have to do is tap. Nothing to download or install. Find events, visit our new website and social media pages. You can also give electronically, and all you have to do is tap. Try it today.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I have a few hot topics here, verbal hot topics. Water baptism is scheduled for Sunday, November the 16th, during the 10 a.m. service. And if you would like to be baptized, please complete a registration form located in the sanctuary foyer. And for more details, please contact Rosemary Robinson at 856-661-8110, extension 106. And please remember to join us each week on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our regularly scheduled midweek online service via YouTube. This Wednesday, we will continue with a legacy message from Dr. Lamont entitled How to Get Your Needs Met, Part 4, I gather. And we are looking for you to connect with us in this message. And calling all young adults ages 18 through 30, the Epic Young Adult Ministry invites you to join them on the third Sunday for each month during the following our service in Salon 4 and for their monthly small group. And we look forward to seeing you there. At this time, let's welcome Pastor Connie.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give Minister Kim another hand. As you can tell, she loves God. She loves his purpose. She loves his word. And she loves you. Mr. Kim's a hard worker. And I appreciate your love and dedication to the ministry. It really means a lot to me, and it's meant a lot to all of you. So thank you for the word. I was just jotting down how it's so important for us to know that we have a purpose and what that purpose is. And one driving factor
to me is that if you ever go through hard things, you know, some people want to commit suicide, or you may get a disease that's trying to kill you, it's very important that you know that you have a purpose, because it will motivate you to stick around. If you think you're expendable, what do you call it? Disposable. If you think you're disposable, you won't fight for yourself. You won't use your faith. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So it's just important that we know that we're here for God's purpose, and so that we use our faith to fight, to stay, and fight to know what that purpose is. Amen? Praise God. And serving at your church, being a part of a church family, that's a huge part. It's a huge part, because we want to help you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, is there anybody here today? I wanted to mention the person that raised their hand when Minister Kim did the altar call. We do have information. I'm not sure if we took the person the information, but we do have information that we want to give you, even though you didn't want to come up front. So make sure you don't leave without the package that we want to give to you, okay? I don't know who it was, but I'm talking to you, so. All right, but is there anybody here, and we have any first-time visitors? First-time visitors? Any first-time visitors? Hey, praise God. Can you just stand up so we can see you? We want to see you. Praise God. Hello, hello. We're so glad to have you this morning. You add to our excitement, amen? Praise God. Praise God. We're believing God 40 years, new things, new beginnings, everything new. Praise God. So we're so glad to see a new face in the place, amen? Come on, everybody say, welcome to Living Faith. Praise God. And I want you to know that you are welcome to come back anytime, anytime, okay? Also, is there anyone here, you've been coming to Living Faith and you know that the Lord is leading you, like you need to be part of a church home, and you believe that this is your church home? If you just raise your hand, you want to make Living Faith your church home today? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Praise the Lord. If you're shy, you can still catch somebody back here at the end of service. And just grab somebody and tell them you want to join, okay? All right. Well, that is what? I can't read your lips. Oh, it is? Oh. Well, I guess I've been too busy. I didn't know it was Veterans Day? Tuesday. Okay, praise God. Well, then, in that case, let's honor anybody. We have a video. Dang. Just call me up here. I don't know what I'm doing.
This Veterans Day.
Just because I'm not preaching.
Take time to honor you. We listen to your stories and thank you for your service.
Yes.
We attend parades in honor of your sacrifice. We shake your hand and pray for you and your family. And we remember the ultimate sacrifice of your fellow servicemen and women. But if we were to ask you how to best honor veterans, you might point our attention to freedom, the kind that never was nor ever will be free. Perhaps you'd remind us to not take it for granted, but enjoy it to its fullest. Maybe you'd urge us to live in it earnestly, to serve, to sacrifice, and to honor our neighbors. You fought for it. You defended it. But we must continue it in the same spirit, in the same values that you upheld in your service to our country. We'll defend those who can't defend themselves. We'll serve those in need. We'll invest our time and talents to make our communities better. In honor of you today, and in the service and sacrifice that you